Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Get some tonight in Denver, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Okay, we have some breaking news, and I think this is actually kind of important. Ask me, Bruce, how did the conversation yesterday go with Sean Payton and Ejiro Evero?
Any idea how the conversation went between Sean Payton and Ejiro Evero?
Reading the tea leaves, I have an idea of how well it went.
What was that?
The Broncos and Sean Payton are interviewing Brian Flores today for the defensive coordinator position. You remember him as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins? Do you know he has never been a defensive coordinator?
Didn't know that. Knew he was a defensive guy.
He's a defensive guy, but I mean, very few guys go from not being a coordinator to head coach. Brian Flores did. So how did the interview go with Evero? Evero is under contract for the next 2 years. Why would you be interviewing Brian Flores if the interview went well and say to Evero, okay, great, you're going to stay?
By every indication that we've had along the way on Evero in the process of interviewing with other teams,
he wants out.
He wants out.
He wants out.
That has been a familiar thing.
He is so upset with the Broncos for not allowing him to interview for the
Falcons job.
Right. Yeah. And listen, Minnesota is open.
Yeah.
There's another team that is open looking for a defensive coordinator right now.
Never know about Raheem Morris in LA.
I was told that the interview with Evero and the Penners did not go well because he is still steaming over the fact that he wasn't allowed to potentially get out of his contract. And it didn't go well for that reason. His loyalty, I know a lot of, I put this out on Twitter as well, about Evero isn't happy with the Broncos organization for a lot of different reasons. One, maybe not the most important, not being allowed to interview for another job. Now, granted, he is under contract.
Yeah.
But his loyalty is to Nathaniel Hackett. He came here with Hackett. They fired his friend. You can make the case, get over it. But his mindset is, I came here with Hackett, and if he's gone, what do you need me here for? There's no reason for me to be around anymore. One of the main reasons why Evero did not take the interim job, I know a lot of people say, you don't want to blemish his interim coaching record. That does make sense. But at the end of the day, he did not want to step on the body of his friend, Nathaniel Hackett, lying on the ground, to take his job at least with an interim title.
And while that may end up not being a good thing for the Broncos, it's a great thing for their friendship. And by the way, that kind of loyalty
goes back to college. They were college teammates.
Exactly. Respect it. Hell, celebrate it.
Right.
We need more of that in the world, not less of it. So I totally get it. And yeah, I get that there can be a dynamic of, sorry, business is business. But you know what? There are plenty of guys out there. You can figure it out. And if that's the way that he wants to roll, then more power to him.
Now, it is my understanding that Brian Flores is still up for the head coaching job in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen some stuff out of Arizona saying, just hire Flores already.
There's a real feeling, I think, in Arizona that this is a hard sell because of the whole Kyler Murray thing.
Yeah, you thought Russell Wilson was hard to sell.
Who wants to deal with Kyler Murray?
And oh, by the way, the latest on Kyler Murray is that he's not going to rush back from his injury. He wants to make sure that he is totally healthy. Oh, by the way, you did just get a new contract, right? So it's not as if you play this year and you get injured again, you're going to be out of a big contract. You already have your contract.
What a mess that job has turned into.
Right.
General manager out, head coach out, quarterback on the outs. How are you going to replace all of, I mean, they've got a new general manager now. They don't have a coach. Their quarterback situation remains in the air. Even if it wasn't in the air, you still have a perceived malcontent, even though a talented one, but a perceived malcontent at quarterback. My goodness, what a mess.
If Brian Flores is the guy, I'll give you a couple of positives and one thing I'm not that crazy about. The stuff that I read out of Miami was he was essentially undermining his GM, Mike Greer, on Tua Tagovailoa. Basically trying to get somebody else there. And Mike Greer wasn't happy about it. And I understand the whole thing about Stephen Ross and what Flores claimed that he was told and right. So on and so forth. But I don't know how good of a soldier Brian Flores was as the head coach, as he really didn't seem like he wanted to work with Tua and tried to get somebody else in there. That doesn't make me feel good. However, I do like the fact that he comes from a 3-4 scheme,
yep,
which is what the Broncos run. And I hope this doesn't come out wrong. I don't mean it this way. But there is a side benefit to hiring Brian Flores. It's the same benefit with keeping Evero. If Brian Flores becomes the defensive coordinator and he gets a head coaching job next year, guess what's coming back to Denver? 2 compensatory third-round picks. Hey, yeah. That's an NFL rule. I'm just stating a fact.
Yeah.
You hire a minority, that's what is going to happen. It just is what it is. And if the Broncos can benefit from that, so be it. If Sean Payton turns around this offense and Brian Flores keeps the defense at the same level, this is a 10-win team.
Oh, yeah.
This is an 11-win team. And now Brian Flores becomes a hot commodity because he had a really good defense on a really good team, and he might be next in the cycle. And by the way, he has remained in the head coaching cycle. It's not like he has gone away like Vance Joseph disappeared.
I'm really glad that he has not become persona non grata. You know, he went through that stretch he might still be in some elements of legality and lawsuits. I'm not sure about the way that he finished up down in Miami. But the fact of the matter is, he's still a relevant guy. And good for Sean Payton to be interviewing him.
What does it say about the interview with Evero?
Well, it says that it didn't go well.
Well,
doesn't it? I mean, if it went well, then it's kind of
Flores?
Why call anybody else?
It's not like you have to convince Evero to sign a contract. He's under contract.
Yeah. I mean, as long as he checks out with Sean Payton, it's a no-brainer. So obvious. And
Payton could not sell him on staying.
Right. I think that's fairly evident.
Now, maybe Evero does come back. But if you think about it logically, I don't think that Sean Payton, looking at Evero, is saying, well, maybe I can do better than Evero. You get continuity. Mm-hmm. You get an up-and-coming defensive mind, a guy who's being considered already for a lot of head coaching jobs. It seems to me like Evero is well-regarded in NFL circles, right?
Yeah.
So
keeping him is a win.
It is. So why would you interview somebody else?
Because Evero is not interested in being here.
Right.
Clearly.
Right.
Not interested in being part of this puzzle.
Coming up after the break, SB Nation graded the NFL coaching hires. So you got Houston with D'Amico Ryans, Carolina with Frank Reich. By the way, there's some problems down there already. And then the Broncos with Sean Payton. Sean Payton get an A+. We'll tell you next.
How we been? How we will crawl. Send me on my way. Send me on my way. Send me on my way. Send me on my way.
More Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileEyeSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, if you are looking to have a terrific time this weekend, highly recommend you go to the Gallery Sportsman's Club and Range in Lakewood. This is far more than just a shooting facility. It is really a social club for you and your friends. Now, what am I talking about? When you go to a shooting facility, usually it's like a concrete jungle, the furthest thing from welcoming, and you really walk in there, do your thing, and then you walk out. You walk into the Gallery Sportsman's Club and Range. It is a beautiful layout, clean, nice, great looking facility. You can get a cup of coffee at their coffee bar. They have a terrific retail center as well. Then you go get your trigger therapy in. And once that is over, you head on over to the barrel room where they have really comfortable couches, a great menu, a full service bar. Go with your friends, get a little trigger therapy in, maybe pick something up from the retail center and hang around and have some drinks and have some really good food. It's a place that you really want to spend the entire day. Again, you go to the other places, concrete jungle, there's nowhere to sit. There's nowhere to socialize. You can do that at the Gallery Sportsman's Club and Range. Also, their membership is a great deal right now. Unlimited shooting for just $49 a month. Let's put that into perspective. To get a lane for 1 hour at the Gallery Sportsman's Club and Range, it's $25 an hour. So if you go there for 2 hours a month, you're paying $50. If you go there 2 hours a month with the unlimited pass, it's $49. But you get to go a lot more because you have a membership. Head on over to the Gallery Sportsman's Club and Range in Lakewood. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Eric Cook at Farmers Insurance. The Cook Insurance Group, focused on people, not policies. Call today at 303-790-8089. That's 303-790-8089.
SB Nation graded three of the NFL coaching openings that were openings and now have been filled. There are two more openings left. Word is that the Indianapolis Colts and Jim Irsay are honing in on Jeff Saturday. We don't know what the Arizona Cardinals are going to do. Houston, Carolina, and the Broncos have all made their selections. According to SB Nation, Houston was graded with an A+, hiring Ryans. Frank Reich with Carolina Panthers got a B grade. The Broncos with Sean Payton, C+. This is their reasoning, and I'll read it directly. The Broncos are far less concerned getting a football coach and more heavily invested in getting someone who could repair Russell Wilson. Payton was really the only man for the job and the only guy who can give the team a chance. Payton is notoriously demanding of his quarterback. And up to this point, Russ has been more or less coddled by the coaching staffs around him in Pete Carroll and Nathaniel Hackett. There is also the concern when you think about what Payton likes to do offensively and pair that with Wilson's skill set, because that doesn't mesh at all. Basically, the Broncos are throwing a Hail Mary and hoping they will be able to catch it. All of that said, what do you agree with? What do you disagree with?
They did get a football coach, and they did get a
potential
guy,
Hall of Fame
right,
football coach.
And they did get a guy that could fix Russ. So I'll correct. They were a lot less concerned about getting a football coach than a guy that could repair Russell Wilson. If you can get a guy that can do both, why not? Right.
Right.
I will say this: the point about Russ being coddled, yeah, probably so. Probably ran a little bit, a little bit too much of the show in Seattle, which got tired with Pete Carroll. Certainly did not work here with Nathaniel Hackett.
We got Russell Wilson!
It actually will never get old because it's so rooted in truth.
Yeah.
It really was. And by the way, I take exception to Peyton likes to do offensively and pair that with Wilson's skill set because they don't mesh at all is ridiculous.
I think that's the only part of that that's totally spot on.
I think that Peyton will do offensively what he needs to do.
I agree with that, too.
To make things work.
Two things can be true at the same time, though.
Right. Yes.
When you look at Peyton's offensive scheme with Drew Brees in New Orleans, it was clear out the middle of the field for wide receivers.
Sure.
We saw what it looked like for Russell Wilson throwing over the middle of the field. It wasn't very good. Drew Brees, I don't want to say that he's not mobile, but he's more of a pocket passer. And at that height, that makes it even more impressive. Right. So, does his scheme fit Russell Wilson? No,
but that's
it doesn't.
That's because it was Drew Brees.
Right. So you have to make the assumption.
I mean, come on.
You have to make the assumption if he is that good of an offensive coordinator, he is going to put together an offense that fits Russell Wilson. He said on the Colin Cowherd show, and I'm paraphrasing here, I'm going to take and I'm going to look at and I'm going to ask somebody to cut up the best 30 plays over the course of Russell Wilson's career that he runs that go over 20 or 30 yards. I want a cut up of that, and I'm going to try and emulate those particular plays and do the same thing in the red zone. That's the type of thinking that you should have. I go back to Mike McCoy all the time when he became the offensive coordinator for Vance Joseph. And he said to me and Les Shapiro at the time, I'm going to put together an offense that fits my players. And that couldn't have been any further from the truth. I am guessing Sean Payton will say the same exact thing about Russell Wilson. My only answer to that is, we'll see.
Yeah, of course.
But a lot of coaches who are older, got resumes, might be stubborn, will say, this is the way I do my offense, this is the way it works, and you're going to have to figure it out. A lot of coaches like that. For all I know, Sean Payton might be like that. I think it'd be foolish to do it like that, but a lot of coaches are set in their ways. You get a guy walking in there who's run a 3-4 defense his entire career, and the personnel is set up for a 4-3, there's probably a better chance that he's going to try and take that personnel and fit it into a 3-4 than adjusting to a 4-3.
Yeah. But, and look, this will all play itself out, and we'll know next September how this thing is rolling. I cannot imagine. In fact, and I've been wrong about some things before.
And we'll talk about that next.
Yes.
And I'm going to talk about things I've been wrong about as
absolutely.
Well. Absolutely. That's a really good tease.
And happy to do it. Happy to do it. I think that you've got two guys in, they're not in similar situations. Russell Wilson needs a lifeline pretty badly right now. How has it affected him? How is he approaching things differently this year than last year? Is he approaching them differently at all?
Simply,
we don't know that yet.
Simply put in one sentence, has he been humbled enough to ask for help?
Totally.
That's it.
That's right. And does Sean Payton see this as another opportunity to, as we talked about yesterday, to solidify his role as a quarterback whisperer?
Right.
I mean, how can it be any better for Sean Payton?
It's for both of them.
Right. It is for both of them. But how much better can it be for Sean Payton to come in here and boom, fix Russell Wilson, win games? How do you think his image rolls from this point forward? Both of them. It's a win-win for both of them if they can succeed. So figure out where the twain shall meet. See you there and let's go.
One of the most attractive qualities of any coaching candidate, head coaching candidate, or manager is how good are they at turning around franchises? Generally speaking, they're being hired because they're being asked to turn around a franchise, right?
Yeah, or as Sean Payton calls it, rebooting. We're here and we're looking at these teams because all of them have something in They all have something in common. They're all trying to reboot. That's right.
I mean, I look at what's going up in Boulder. Deion Sanders walked into a perfect situation. A terrible situation, but a perfect situation. He joined a school that had one win. But if he has eight this year, I can promise you Rick George's phone will be ringing off the hook. Can we talk to Deion? Can we talk to Deion? Now, granted, Deion has a deal, and I understand that. But if you have the reputation of turning around a franchise, that's one of the most important qualities that you can have as a candidate. Look at what Jim Harbaugh did at San Diego. Look at what he did at Stanford. Look at what he did in San Francisco. He has that reputation of turning things around. But you can also make the case, that's the same case for Sean Payton.
Sure.
They were 3-13 the year before he came. He took over. They went to the NFC Championship game.
They had won one playoff game in 38 years before he got there. One.
If I'm being completely honest here, and there are some things I've heard about Sean Payton that I'm not crazy about, you know, not easy guy to get along with, cracks the whip pretty hard. I know Broncos fans are going to say, that's great. That's the kind of guy that I want. But it's all on how you approach it.
Of course it is.
As well. I heard a story about Sean Payton through one of his former players. And even the former player said, boy, that was handled really, really poorly. I understood his message, but he handled it really, really poorly. I'm not going to share it on air, but I'll share it with you during the break. But with that, Sean Payton is an offensive mind. Jim Harbaugh is not. Jim Harbaugh wants to set up a team offensively to run the ball first. Sean Payton doesn't have that history. So Jim Harbaugh needs to hire offensive guys, and he is the type of guy who does let his coordinators coordinate. He lets them do their jobs. So how good would Russ be? It's not about Jim Harbaugh. It's about who his offensive coordinator is. For Sean Payton, he essentially is the offensive coordinator.
He's calling the plays.
No doubt about it. Okay, you kind of teased it. You've been wrong about a lot of things. I've been wrong about a lot of things. One thing about the media is, generally speaking, the media and fans never, ever want to admit that they're wrong. They always want to tell you all of their predictions that worked, kind of like a gambler. I'm only going to tell you about my wins, but I'm not going to tell you about the $10,000 that I lost on last Sunday's games.
Right.
NFL.com's Maurice Jones-Drew wrote a great article titled, Four Running Backs I Was Wrong About. Pretty refreshing, right? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you where I was wrong. Coming up after the break, you've been in this business for about 40 years. I've been doing this for 30 years. We're going to tell you where we were wrong over the course of our career on our predictions. That's next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
I got to get this off my chest, even though I got it off my chest with you. I think we have a really good media group here in Denver, but this happens in all markets. You know what really bothers me about the media? When somebody puts out a report, and then another reporter puts out a report that says, I can confirm that report. Well, goody for you. You're doing it for an audience of one, your boss saying, hey, listen, I'm doing my job too. I didn't break the story, but I'm still on it. If it soothes your ego that you can confirm somebody else's report, good on you. Just get the story in the first place. I don't need your confirmation. I already trust the person who reported it first. Was somebody doubting a guy like Ian Rappaport? Probably not, although he's been wrong on things. I don't need your confirmation. Just get the story in the first place. That's what you need to do. Time now for What's Trending.
Presented by Silterhar Mazda. Get to Silterhar in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silterhar Mazda or find them at sthmazda.com.
NFL.com's Maurice Jones-Drew wrote an article titled, Four Running Backs I Was Wrong About. How refreshing is it that somebody in the media is saying, I was wrong on something? People like to toot their own horn and say, I'm right. But when you're wrong, you hope everybody forgets, right? No one's going to, like I said.
Oh, I don't care if anyone forgets. I mean, I think everybody's wrong at some point about something.
But it's like a gambler. I'm going to tell you about all my wins on Sunday, but I'm not going to tell you about all my losses. That's what gamblers do. Okay. They'll tell you about a really bad beat, but they won't say, I just lost $10,000 on Saturday football games. But they will tell you about the games they won for $3,000 on Sunday, and they're in the hole $7,000. With that, give me some things that you have been wrong about over the last 40 years.
I was wrong about Josh Freeman, who I thought would be a very good quarterback in the NFL. I covered him at Kansas State. He was the number one. He was a first-round draft pick of the Tampa Bay Bucks. His career started off well enough, and then it just fell off the edge of the earth. I was wrong about him. That was a big, strong, mobile guy with a rocket arm that had NFL written all over him, and it just reminded me, I guess, now as I look at it in retrospect, how hard it is to be good at the NFL level. I was wrong about Josh Freeman.
I was wrong about Nathaniel Hackett. I thought he'd be a really good head coach. I thought new ideas, fresh approach, and to say I was wrong is an understatement. I thought Josh Allen would be Paxton Lynch. Forget about it. I didn't think he'd be this good. I didn't think he'd be Paxton Lynch bad.
Yeah, not that bad.
But I thought that he would just be okay. That's why I had no problems with Bradley Chubb. None at all. I'll give you a quick story on something I was really wrong about, and to this day I feel terrible. Mm-hmm. So a friend of mine, his son, played high school football here locally. He was a high school All-American. He was deciding between Colorado and Stanford.
Wow.
So clearly his grades were good enough to get into Stanford. Jim Harbaugh was the coach at Stanford at the time. Dan Hawkins was just hired at Colorado. And my buddy said to me about his son, where do you think he should go? And I'm guessing he asked because I was familiar with Dan Hawkins.
Yeah, some personal experience with him.
I said, I got to tell you something, Jim. That was his name. I said, I got to tell you something, Jim. I think this Dan Hawkins could be really special. There's something about him I really, really like. His son went to Colorado.
Oh, dear.
Now, I'm not saying his son bases his decision on my opinion, but the fact that I even added a twig to that fire, I feel terrible about.
Yeah. I missed on the KU-K-State basketball rivalry in 88. KU won the national championship.
Richmond.
Yep, Mitch Richmond and Danny Manning. And Kansas State had beaten them by 11 and 15 during the regular season and lost to them in the Elite Eight in Pontiac Silverdome. I was there. Was stunned that Kansas went on to win the national championship. Just did not ever see that coming. I was wrong about that one. And then I was wrong with not only Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson, because I was wrong about that.
Well, all of us are
all
wrong
of
on
us
that
were
one.
Wrong on that one. But I was here's one that I was really disappointed to be wrong about. I first arrived here in 2016. The Rockies were in the last season of Walt Weiss, but they had just gone through the opening home run barrage of Trevor Story. Remember how he jumped onto the scene? He had home runs like in six straight games or whatever it was. There was unbelievable excitement about a sub-500 team, but one that won like 75 or six games, something like that. And I thought, okay, we're going to get some momentum. The next 2 years, they were in the postseason. They lost the one game in 17, but in 18, they won the game in Chicago, ended up losing to Milwaukee, but still had that core of LeMahieu, Arenado, Story, Kyle Freeland, who had finished fourth in the Cy Young.
Yep.
We had a lot of really good field. And Charlie Blackmon was lights out in center field. There was a core at that time that I thought, God, the Rockies are going to be a player in the National League West for a while. And it just fell off the edge.
Here's one I was adamant about. Now, I haven't been proven wrong yet, but I could be. This is back when I did the show with Les years and years ago. I said, the Nuggets will never, ever win an NBA championship. Never. They have no chance.
Why did you say that?
Because I felt at the time, and I am correct on this, they're not going to get any free agents. No one's coming.
Oh, gotcha. Right.
No one's coming to Denver to help out. This is back when Jokic was with the team, but Nurkic was on the team too.
Right, sure.
Murray was a young player. Michael Porter Jr. was still in high school.
Yeah, wasn't even here yet.
I didn't think that they could draft three players, clearly. I didn't think they could do it like Golden State did. Because I'm thinking you got to get really lucky with draft picks. But they're not going to get any help with free agents. And to this day, they haven't really gotten help with big-name free agents. They haven't won a championship yet. So right now, I'm still right. I hope I'm wrong, but I banged that drum a lot. Another drum I banged a ton with Andrew was Michael Porter Jr.'s contract could be the biggest mistake in Nuggets history.
You may still end up being right on
that.
That's
my point.
Yeah.
I could be right on it. Yep. I could be, but I banged that drum hard. I'll tell you one more that I was almost wrong on. And this is a lesson to anybody who is a aspiring journalist, sports journalist. Always get a second source. I'll start it there. Now I'll go back. This goes back to something like 1995, 96, 94, when I'm covering the Buffalo Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the day before the trade deadline, and the LA Kings are in Buffalo. And everybody knows Wayne Gretzky is going to get traded. Everybody knows it. TSN is there. ESPN is there. Every national outlet you can possibly imagine that covers hockey is in Buffalo for this game. I'm getting ready to do a live shot at 10:20, 11:20, whatever it is. And Rogie Vachon, who is a longtime NHL goalie, was, I believe, the goaltender's coach for the Kings at the time. And I had a relationship with him. He runs up to me 15 minutes before my live shot. Gretzky's getting traded to the Rangers. I said, what? He said, he's getting traded to the Rangers. I go, does anybody know about this? He goes, none of the media know. I said, how do you know? He goes, I was in the room with Gretzky. And he said, I am going to the Rangers. I called my sports director at the time. And I said, we got the story. We got the story. And he said, did you double source it? I said, no, Rogie told me. What do you mean Rogie told you? He was in the room with Gretz. He told me he's going to the Rangers. He goes, you're not going with it. I go, what do you mean I'm not going with it? This came from Wayne Gretzky's mouth. He goes, you are not going with it. Don't even think of saying this on the air. And I am livid. I'm like a 27-year-old kid, all full of piss and vinegar. I am livid. We got the story.
Wait a minute. What's changed?
We got the story that nobody else got. Fine, Murph. I'm not going to go with it. I'm yelling on the phone. Mm. Next day, he was traded to the Blues. Now, after that season, he did go to the Rangers.
Yeah, right.
But I was almost wrong, and that would have been a huge bagel of zero around my neck had Murph not said to me, make sure you get a second source.
Sounds like Murph was a probably pretty good influence on you.
And he's a great guy.
Yeah,
there you and go. He is not well. He just had a stroke. He's the play-by-play voice of the Bills.
Right.
I hope he and his and Mary and his boys are doing well. With that, what do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
We'll discuss if Aaron Gordon was snubbed from the All-Star team, and what did D'Amico Ryan say about picking Houston over Denver? That's next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman and Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. We are past the new year. A lot of people's resolutions have gone by the wayside. Here's a resolution you should have with you today, next month, into the summer, into the fall. Take care of your affairs in case something happens. Make sure you have a will, a living will, an estate plan. Make sure you take care of everything, button everything up, because you never know what can happen tomorrow. I worked with Dan McKenzie at the McKenzie Law Firm. He was easy to work with. He answered all my questions, and I certainly had a lot of questions. So to say that he is patient, he is the saint of patience when it came to working with me. My wife was a lot easier. I probably was not. He's amazing at what he does. The McKenzie Firm. Dan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
What would you say is probably the most common problem that you encounter with what you do when someone has to take over someone's affairs when they suddenly pass away? And they don't have a setup like Mandy and I do with you.
Yeah. Well, generally just figuring where things are and, you know, what exactly you're supposed to do and whether you even have authority to do it. I mean, who has the authority to even open your mail, actually? It can be an open question if that's not written down, let alone get into accounts or talk to banks or deal with the IRS or deal with your insurance, all that kind of stuff. If you're in the hospital, you know, those are questions that need to be answered pretty quickly. So it can be very difficult if it's not clear.
For those who are single, they'll say, well, I don't have a lot of assets. I don't have kids. What does it really matter? It does matter, doesn't it?
All those problems I just mentioned, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, even for married people, I always tell people I've had to get power of attorney for my own wife several times. She just wasn't here. She was fine, but she wasn't here. And I had to close on our house or potentially make medical decisions for her during a labor and delivery. So, you know, they weren't going to take my word for it that she wanted me making the decisions for her. We had to have that documented.
So there are a lot of online places out there that, I don't know, maybe charge $100 to take care of that. While $100 sounds like a good investment, why is it a bad investment instead of going with you?
You know, they can only answer questions that you ask, that you think to ask. And a lot of people really don't know the questions to ask. I mean, that's sort of a challenge for us as estate planning attorneys, is that people really aren't problem aware, as we say. They don't actually know where the issues are. I always tell people, like, look, in law school, the worst thing that could happen for you is if you walked out of a test thinking it was really easy, because all it meant was you actually missed all the issues. And that's what people who aren't really trained to do this, they don't see, like, oh, our 26-year-old son has moved back home and is living with us. Like, that's going to be a problem. If we pass away, his sister's not going to be real happy about him staying in this house, right? So people don't think about that kind of stuff.
So what you're saying is a guy like me would be the worst candidate to do something online because I do have a lot of questions. Right?
Yeah, you could try asking. Now you got that ChatGPT thing. You got the AI that might be able to answer some of those questions for you. But the point is you don't really know which questions to ask necessarily. If you haven't been through a probate, people are planning, you know, they're doing wills and stuff like that, right, to plan around a probate. They've never been through one. Like, you know, it's trying to draw a map to somewhere you've never been to.
Okay, so as a Michigan grad, how are you feeling about Jim Harbaugh staying with your team and not coming to Denver?
I mean, I think everyone's happy, right? We get to keep our coach who's been successful lately. You guys, Denver gets a great coach here too, so hopefully it works out for everyone.
How do people get a hold of you?
They can call us at 833-CO-PLANS. They can go to coplans.co. So just remember COPLANS, and that'll get you to us.
833-CO-PLANS, or go to coplans.co. Dan, hoping you and T have a great weekend. See you, man.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
See you, pal. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Greenfield's Pool and Sports Bar in Lakewood. Greenfield's has everything under one roof, including the best happy hour in town. 2-for-1 wine, well, and drafts from 3 until 7 p.m. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Argonaut Wine and Liquor. You need to see why Westward named it the best liquor store in Denver 5 years running, or order online at argonautliquor.com.
All right, just in case you missed it, the 2023 NBA All-Star Reserves were announced, and the Western Conference selections included Ja Morant, Domantas Sabonis, Damian Lillard, Paul George, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Lauri Markkanen, and Jaren Jackson Jr. Michael Malone called it a travesty that Aaron Gordon did not make the team. As he stated, Aaron Gordon deserves to be an All-Star. Should the best team in the Western Conference record-wise have two All-Stars on it?
Who do you take off that list?
Jaren Jackson.
Maybe,
for me.
Right?
I would.
Okay.
Right.
That would be the one guy I think that you could probably take exception to. So is it a snub? That's just kind of the way they went with it. I suppose it could be perceived as it. Aaron Gordon has been good enough to be an all-star. There are only so many spots that you can have for an all-star game.
I want to take a hard right turn on the Nuggets. I like something that Jamal Murray said after the game last night. We are a championship team. That is something that I've never heard come out of the mouths of anybody in that organization since I've been covering this team, really since 2004. Maybe when they went to the Western Conference Finals, that was mentioned. But honestly, this really is a championship team. The team in 09 was a championship-level team, too. They just lost the Lakers. But then he went on to say, we're a championship team. There's no room for guys not buying into their roles. Hey, Bones, that was meant for you. Maybe it wasn't, but honestly, that should be meant for him.
The shoe fits.
Yes.
All right, just in case you missed it, Texans coach DeMeco Ryans was asked about picking Houston over Denver. And then he responded with, it wasn't a difficult decision at all. It was easy. Was Ryans throwing any shade here at the Broncos?
You know what? I don't care if he was or not. You know, it's a good move for Houston. It's a good fit. It makes sense on a lot of different levels. The Broncos ended up hiring Sean Payton. You know, go to your neutral corners and be happy for yourself.
He grew up in the Houston Texans organization. He spent a lot of time in Houston. He knows a lot of people in Houston. And oh, by the way, he met his wife in Houston and his wife's family's from Houston. That makes it an easy decision.
On top of it, he was building a house in Houston even before the whole process.
Right. So, I don't think it was a slight on the Broncos at all.
No.
A lot of personal things came into play, certainly, as well. That was Argonaut Wine and Liquor. Just in case you missed it, it is the weekend. Sip a cocktail, maybe have a glass of wine, throw back a beer. You need to do it with Argonaut Wine and Liquor. Super low prices. You got to go check them out off of Colfax. And also, they're going to have a one-day sale on February 9th. That's coming up fast. 20% off all wine, 15% off all liquor, $2 off all 12 packs. Great prices, great service. Argonaut Wine and Liquor, you can find them off of Colfax again. Order online at argonautliquor.com or download their app. Guys, this has been quite a week. We started Monday. How come there aren't any second interviews? Now there's a coach. Now the owners are playing golf. And on Monday, we've got a press conference.
And we've heard from Coach Prime.
Make it the best possible weekend you can.
I find it very, very easy to be true.